This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Hour number two of the G-Bag Nation NFL News of the Day coming up. We got Greg Maddux at 3:20, Major League Baseball Hall of Famer. He, of course, will be part of the Invited Celebrity Classic next month. You can go ahead and get your tickets for that. Can't wait to talk with Greg Maddux, hear his thoughts on what it's like to defend a World Series championship. And is he going to get out there to visit our Texas Rangers out in Surprise? Of course, we're the home of your World Series champion Rangers here on 105.3 The Fan. 2-0, Rangers up on the Diamondbacks right now in spring training action. Pretty solid debut here for Urania. He's got no runs, 2 hits, 3 1/3 innings, couple of strikeouts, does have a couple of walks.
Yeah, they got that run. I think the first run I know off Zach Gallen.
Is Zach Gallen off the start for the D-backs?
He started for the D-backs, so that's a good, if you're kind of getting to him in the first, I think that's a nice little start to your day.
Yeah, 2 runs, 2 hits over 2 innings against Zach Gallen. So yeah. drew a couple of walks.
There you go.
The ball really well.
There you go.
And hey, they're carrying over that World Series success they had in that second matchup there in Game 5. That's what we like here for your Rangers. Zach Wolchuk alongside Brian Broaddus. We do have Gavin Dotson and Eric Giafalo both on assignment today. Dotson going to be coaching his daughter's soccer game, and it's a big tournament. So send Gavin and Eric your well wishes. We got Lucius Alexander extended edition LA Live coming up at 5:20. Carter Freeman running your video. Appreciate everybody who joins us on Twitch and on YouTube. And tomorrow, come party with us, baby. Dallas Boat Show, 2 to 7. Visit dallasboatexpo.com for tickets. We're going to be out there at Dallas Market Hall, just up the road from our studio, so that's going to be fun. Can't wait to party with all the Tolos tomorrow at the Dallas Boat Show. Maybe you find a boat that you want to buy.
There's a lot of
things. Last year when we were out there, dude.
Yeah. Woo-hoo. There's a lot of beautiful boats out there, and it's more than that, too. Like, if you're into wakeboarding and skiing.
They got good clothes.
They got clothes. They got wetsuits. Seriously, they've got all the top vendors from around the country are showing up, so if you're into the water scene, man, the boat show has you covered.
Yes, they do. Okay, the big news today, Justin Simmons got released by the Denver Broncos.
I got to look at him.
Another free agent safety that is out there.
How much dead money are the Broncos going to carry?
Yeah, I feel like all the dead money.
It's a savings. I think he was due $18 million. I think they save $14 million, so maybe that's a $4 million charge right there for the carry. But, man, yeah, that is a Todd France client.
Okay.
So if you could play nice to Dak, maybe
find a way to parlay that into Justin Simmons.
They get a safety out of the deal.
Former All Pro.
Yeah, get a safety out of the deal.
Yeah,
too.
That wouldn't be bad. Team captain, but yeah, my goodness. So Simmons had an $18.25 million salary,
and the savings.
His release. I mean, it's $3.75 million in dead money for the Broncos. I guess they're going to save $14.5 million.
There you go. Cap. There you go. The dead money. That's just piling up for them.
Really
right
is.
Now.
It's been insane. Now this is interesting because Russell Wilson is a big part of the dead money.
Yeah.
Steelers expected to meet with former Broncos quarterback Russell Wilson. This was interesting because we had heard that the Steelers, probably not a team that was going to covet adding a Russell Wilson.
Steelers are not ever going to let you know what they're doing.
They seem like they're definitely holding things close to the vest.
They don't really want you to know exactly what they're doing. They're sneaky in the way they operate, too. They always seem to kind of get on the good players and kind of get some deals. I always remember drafting, and when the Steelers took somebody, I was like, damn, maybe we should have took that guy. You know, what did they do? It was. I remember a couple of times they took Kendrell Bell behind us. The Quincy Carter draft. We had a first-round grade on Kendrell Bell, linebacker from Georgia. And right after us, they take him, and that kid made AFC Defensive Rookie of the Year. I just went, oh.
Of course. That's how it is now with the Ravens. Yeah. I feel like if the Ravens take anybody, and then Ravens the Steelers are still a good drafting team, especially with receivers.
Yeah.
But man, if Ravens take a guy, you're like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. He's probably going to be pretty good. But the report from The Athletic was that the Steelers weren't interested in Justin Fields either. They had no interest because they believed in their current starter, Kenny Pickett, and they've doubled down on their approach for that. Well, former
who won the playoff games for him? Who got him into the playoffs? Was that Hodges? Who got him into the. Why am I?
Well, Duck Hodges was several years ago.
No, it wasn't. I mean, why am I going brain?
Kenny Pickett was their quarterback from this past year.
Yeah, but somebody else got him in the playoffs. He got hurt.
He did get hurt. Who the hell was?
Damn it!
Backup?
I hate when that happens.
They did have another guy. It's really just Mike Tomlin that's getting him into the playoffs.
Yeah,
because of how damn good he is.
Yeah,
but it's just they've had Mitchell Trubisky, who I think might have even just re-signed there. Trubisky was a guy that was playing, but yeah, find that out. But here was.
Former
play-by-play guy, Bill Hargrove, who just retired, but longtime Steeler. He was not really into the Russell Wilson.
Mason deal. Rudolph.
Mason
My
Rudolph,
gosh,
that's right. Oklahoma State.
I couldn't remember. He played
and
like...
Mason Rudolph, who stunk, too.
Yeah, he played four games for him, got him in the playoffs. God, I was
that's
thinking
who
it was. Hodges.
No, I blanked on... Well, Hodges did it a couple years ago.
Hodges
Mason
did a couple,
Rudolph.
Yeah.
But that just shows you the power of Mike Tomlin. So underrated. Yeah. But here's Bill Hillgrove on what's going on with the Steelers quarterback situation.
I think what they'll do is they'll bring in a veteran quarterback to give competition to Kenny. And believe me, I watched Kenny at Pitt for 5 years. He knows how to win. He's just been a victim of some very challenging circumstances. And I think now with Arthur Smith in charge, Arthur, from what I understand, adapts to the talent.
No.
He's not a hotshot that has to do it his way.
So Russell Wilson making sense is maybe that veteran quarterback to compete with Kenny Pickett. I mean, you've probably seen enough from Kenny Pickett to realize he's not the guy that's going to do it for you unless, I don't know. Mason Rudolph also looked terrible. And then all of a sudden, here he goes on a four-game run. You make the postseason, and of course, you lose pretty quickly, and it wasn't a good game at all.
Well, he was 3-0. He did something obviously right for them. He's like 75% passer. I kind of thought they were not going to do anything because they were confident in Mason Rudolph. That's where I was kind of going with that.
Well, apparently Arthur Smith does like Kenny Pickett. They've met with him.
Yeah.
But it'll be interesting if indeed Russell Wilson, who now is going to meet with the Steelers, and I did see a report contradicting to what The Athletic said, that they're still open maybe if the price comes down on Justin Fields to look into that possibility. Speaking of Justin Fields, former NFL general manager. Mike Mayock, who was on the Greenlight podcast with Chris Long. Boy, but Mayock.
A lot of bad picks, Mike Mayock.
He was not good with the Raiders. That's why he's out there now as a free agent. But the Bears potentially trading Justin Fields.
You're the Bears, and you know one way or another. Right now, what are you taking into consideration if you're like, we know we're trading him? Like, take me inside their war room as far as protecting that information.
Well, the beauty for them is that, obviously, with the first pick, it changes everything because nobody can jump you, right? So you're dictating everything. As far as trading Justin Fields, you know, I see a lot of stuff out there about what's the best timing. Should they do it now, before free agency, when teams need quarterbacks and there's a bunch of teams, will that maximize value? Or would waiting till near the draft or during the draft maximize value? I can tell you from my experience, I had some calls on Derek Carr. You know, Derek was getting better every year with John Gruden and that offensive staff, Greg Olson and our guys. Derek was really, I thought he got better each year. And in 21, we go to the playoffs. Oh. He was a top 10 or 12 quarterback.
Remind
no matter whether
Mike.
You like him or not, he was. We were getting to the draft, and I'm getting phone calls on Derek. And people are offering significant things. And this, the closer the draft got, the more a couple of GMs were panicked about what's going to be left. There was nothing in free agency. I don't think I'm going to be able to get up high enough to get the guy I want. What's going to be left, right? So you can make a case, I think, either way. I've always believed that if you control quality, if you control value, you're going to be fine with leverage. I think there's going to be a market for Fields if they want to move them. And I think that whether it's now or later, they're going to be fine.
Hey, yo, where's he from?
Philadelphia.
Dark.
Yeah.
Not Derek, but Dark.
No, dark. Yeah,
Dark. He's getting better every time you said it. Every time you said it, my ears perked up.
Yeah, Dark. He's from Philadelphia. He went to school at Boston College.
He did go to Boston College.
Yeah.
Mike, quicker than fast. Yeah, Mike Mayock.
He did. He reminded us he did well 1 year.
Yeah, 1 year. Okay, congratulations.
He had all those picks.
Cleveland Farrell.
All those picks those guys had. And
wasn't good.
Just wasn't good.
Was not.
I had some calls on Derek Carr.
Yeah.
Dark.
You probably should have taken this because they did end up moving him away. But it's going to be fascinating what happens with Justin Fields. Adam Schefter was also talking like they probably need to try and do this sooner than later. The asking price needs to come down. I think you could definitely do it probably for a third. I think they wanted a first. They're not going to get that.
No.
Now they're probably going to have to drop down to a second. We'll see. I think there's teams that are probably interested. They just want to do it at their price, which is kind of how the Cowboys do business as well.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll have to see moving forward what happens with the quarterback dominoes. Does it end up being prior to free agency? Or do they wait this thing out and it ends up being maybe even after the draft with Justin Fields? I don't know, but it's a fascinating conundrum that the Bears are in. Now, when it comes to Russell Wilson, okay, Steelers an option there. Panthers head coach Dave Canales said this is not the situation for Russell Wilson, as the obvious answer is Bryce Young there. They're trying to, that's why they hired Dave Canales. They want to try and get the most of him, but they were looking like, okay, would Russ make sense as a backup to maybe mentor Bryce Young? I don't know that Russ is really the mentoring type of guy. He seems like he's not the best of teammates from what we've heard.
I think that, I'll say this, I need to talk to Sean. Every time I talk to Sean about Russell Wilson, though, he was positive about the person.
Okay.
You know, there were some things that he didn't particularly, you know, that he felt like he couldn't help him with, and that's ultimately why they move on. But I never got the feeling that he was a bad guy. You know, and maybe he's a little bit different. Maybe is the word eccentric? Is that kind
eccentric?
Of eccentric?
Yeah,
is that right?
Mr. Unlimited.
Yeah, that he's maybe that he lives in a fantasy world, you know? You know, maybe he's one of those kind of those quarterbacks that, you know, just reality's not all there.
A little arrogant.
Arrogant?
A little arrogant, sure.
Yeah. But I kind of feel like, though, that I never heard anything like he was like a bad dude.
Yeah, I mean, it's really just like hard to reach sometimes from his teammates.
You know, there's, like I said, there's things that people could say about Tony Romo and him in the locker room.
Yeah, it's true.
That
we have heard some not so great things
that are very parallel to probably what Russ is going through right now.
It's a great,
you know, comparison. I mean, there was times where Romo was, when Dak was having that success and, you know, the team was gravitating towards him. They felt like, you know, guys like Jason Witten and Dez Bryant and those guys, they kind of said, listen, this guy might be our ship to get to
get to
the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And so they all kind of left Tony by the wayside, and Tony tried to rally and have parties at the house, have guys over, and everybody was kind of looking at each other like, "Whoa, where'd this come from?"
Yeah,
you know,
a little too late.
Yeah. So, quarterbacks can be that way. Some of them are super, super good teammates, and others are like, "I really don't have time for you today."
Derek Carr.
Yeah.
Thanks, Mike. Bills went ahead and cleaned house yesterday. Opened about $35 million worth of cap space. They also restructured Von Miller's deal. He's now got a base value of $8.85 million and a chance to make up to $20 million with incentives, according to the new deal. They were in a difficult situation where they might have had to designate post-June 1 because he had a massive cap hit, but Von Miller working with the Bills to bring down that deal. Taylor Rapp also re-signed with Buffalo. 3-year deal worth $14.5 million, so they at least have one safety there after Micah Hyde's a free agent, and then they cut Jordan Poyer yesterday. And Mitchell Trubisky, ex-Steeler, gets a 2-year deal, $5.25 million with the Bills. So Trubisky did sign, but it was with the Bills and not the Steelers. Giants tight end Darren Waller considering retirement. He said a decision could come pretty soon.
He's beat up.
Could go either direction. You can either play or retire.
Poor guy can't stay healthy. I mean, every time
I thought that was really going to work for them.
I did too. That scared me to death. I didn't know anybody in the division that was going to be able to cover him.
Right.
And
he's a problem.
He just can't stay healthy. That's a big issue for him.
Yeah. And then the Eagles have released Avante Maddox, their defensive back. He had a $9.6 million cap hit, both sides agreeing to mutually part ways there. Yeah. I remember Maddox, man, 2 years ago, he was really, really good. Only played four seasons, tore his pec, and was out for the year. It's a big reason why their secondary struggled.
Yeah.
Is quite a good player, but injuries have also been an issue for him.
Surprising how they didn't maybe keep him around, but Bradbury and Slay, boy, they were bad last year.
Really bad.
Yeah.
Really, really bad.
And they
bad.
Were bad at safety, too.
They sure were.
Yep.
Aaron Rodgers did like a 3-hour podcast. He was on the Keep Hammer Collective podcast.
Who?
Yeah, Keep Hammer.
Oh.
That's just what the podcast is called. That's not a person's name.
Oh.
Just what the podcast is called.
Who's involved in this podcast?
Whoever this dude is, Hammer.
Oh.
Honestly, I've never seen the show before. This was a first for me.
But, 3 hours?
Yeah, he sat down, talked
about it. You talking about the Aaron Rodgers situation?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Have you seen like the track list, basically, of the topics that they talked about?
Some of the topics are quite interesting.
Lucius, who is this guy? who is this guy, Lucius? Is he a world-renowned guy? Or is
the podcaster?
The podcaster?
A conspiracy guy is what I was told by Medford. Medford told me it's a conspiracy guy.
Okay. It's right up Aaron Rodgers' alley.
I see why he did it for 3 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, basically, here's a quick cut of him talking about how long he wants to play.
How can I be my best with my diet today, with my fluid intake, just everything down to a T to try and get better. And I got back on the practice field late in the season and couldn't get to a top speed sprinting, but really been in a good place rehab-wise from the start and feeling really good. And, I'm hopeful I can play 2 or 3 or 4 more years, but you need to have some good fortune there too.
Yeah,
I don't know if he's going to end up playing that long. We'll see. I feel like he is a year-to-year kind of guy, but I wish him the best. He also gave a lot of love to their kickers. Said he wants that punter and kicker back. Those guys are weapons. Somebody's out here vying for them. Cameron Haynes is the name of the podcaster that hosts that show.
Cameron Haynes. So Cameron he's a Haynes. Conspiracy guy?
Apparently.
Do they get into JFK kind of stuff? Aliens? Flat Earth? What else
he
we do?
He gets into a lot of stuff, but that's interesting. If you
Would
want
you
to
call
go...
Joe Rogan a conspiracy guy?
I would say he is, yes.
Okay, all right.
Yeah. He's open to conspiracies.
People going
to
attack me for calling him a conspiracy guy. Say that on a fan text. But then Joe is that. You
Joe
know,
is
like,
that. Absolutely.
He likes
is.
It.
Yeah.
This
is a red pill podcast.
No, he completely he leans into it. He really does.
Yeah, he does. All right, let's catch up with Greg Maddux, Major League Baseball Hall of Famer, World Series champion, 4-time Cy Young winner. Greg Maddux joins us next here on The Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Heck yes, it's time to catch up with the Major League Baseball Hall of Famer, World Series champion, 4-time Cy Young winner, and an 8-time All-Star, not to mention 18-time Gold Glove winner, the great Greg Maddux here on the home of your World Series champion, Texas Rangers segment brought to you by Franklin Frankel. And the G-Bag Nation's brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today at carsforkids.org as we are just a little over a month away from the first tee at the Celebrity Classic that is going to be going on there, brought to you by Choctaw Casinos and Resorts, the invited Celebrity Classic. Of course, Greg Maddux will indeed be part of that, and he joins us now on the D&M Leasing Hotline. Greg, how are you? Thanks for giving us some time, and how's the golf game right now?
Doing great. Thanks for having me. Yeah, golf game's fine. You know, I'm in Vegas right now. The weather's been great all week, and we've been playing and having a good time with all the guys.
Hey, Greg, have you ever played in a tournament where, like, a member guest or something like that, or an event where you got pencil whipped? Like, you know, I've seen guys, like, post some scores sometimes, and I've been a part of tournaments, and I'm like, there's no way in hell that group shot 48 or 52 or whatever they shot. Have you ever been a part of one of those?
All the time.
Are you part of doing it? That's
I've never been in one, but I've been on the receiving end of a few.
You know, what's the thought about that? How do you, I mean, do you just come on, man, don't do that?
I think the thought is make sure you turn your score in last, and then they don't know what score to beat. I think that's the way to counterbalance it a little bit. You know, whoever turns their score in first never wins in those things.
Never wins. But yeah, I've been a part of some of those, and I'm like, I look at the group and I'm like, these guys got mismatched clubs. Yeah. And they shoot like a 53, and I'm like going, wait a minute, what just happened today? Was Greg Maddux their A player in that group? What was going on here today?
I've been in a few of those tournaments. Okay. You know, usually the prize is something good too. I remember one year it was a Marshall Fox signed helmet, and we shot like 21 under, and sure enough, 22 ended up winning it. So, yeah, some of those charity scramble events, the scores get really, really obnoxiously low sometimes.
Well, Greg, I saw Tiger apparently said that he played a couple of rounds with you, Glavin, and Smoltz, and he said that he lost money. Can you confirm that this is accurate?
It happened, but he got it back the next day. So
you put the Sunday red on, huh?
Yeah, but that was special times. You know, that was back when we had spring training in Orlando, and him and Smoltz were running around pretty tight at the time. And you know, Smoltz was nice enough to bring me and Glav or Avery or somebody else along, and just to watch him play up close and personal was something pretty special. I mean, just the height he hits the ball is incredible.
Greg, have you ever played Augusta?
I have. Yeah.
How did you like that trip?
Loved it. I mean, what a special place. All the history, you know, it's like every time you hit a shot, you remember, oh, Phil was here, Tiger was here. This is the putt Jack made. You know, this is where Bubba hooked it around the trees. I mean, it's pretty cool. Like, you know, every spot on that course, you kind of have a memory from watching the Masters on TV.
The Greg Maddux joining us here in the G-Bag Nation.
Yeah, I've been to the tournament a couple of times, and I think TV doesn't do it justice for how hilly that place. Did you ever have a flat lie? That's where you talk about hooking balls and stuff like that. Never a flat lie at that place, right?
I think the only flat lie was the hotel room. That was about it when you're carpet putting before you go to the course.
Yeah.
Okay, Greg. Yeah. I mean, clearly you've got an outstanding sense of humor, and we love you. I mean, obviously we're big fans, and we do have some hard hitting baseball questions we want to get to. But I think the most pressing question, we've heard a lot of stories lately about your pranking and peeing on people, maybe peeing in hot tubs. What can you share with us about the prankster that is Greg Maddux?
Well, it's all made up over the years. You know, the older I get, the worse the stories get, it seems like. You know, I think we had a lot of fun in the clubhouse. We did things to each other. I think one of my all-time favorites was drawing a brain cramp. Who saved 300 games for the Padres? Trevor Hoffman. Trevor Hoffman used to come in and take a bite out of all the donuts and thought it was funny. And one day, Michael Barrett replaced the cream with mustard. And just to watch the look on his face when he bit into that mustard donut was priceless. But we always had fun. I mean, you know, we had a lot of downtime in the clubhouse, and you know, you're always there a couple hours before batting practice, and just a lot of good nature, just mostly a lot of verbal ribbing, and we had fun, put it that way.
Hey, Greg, you played an era where, I mean, it not that long ago, but we're in a different era with the media and the scrutiny and all that. Would you have liked to have played in this era, or would it just, like, bother the hell out of you?
You know what? Cell phones are great, but it was kind of nice playing before cell phones were invented.
Sure.
You know, I think I got my first cell phone when I was 26. So, you know, we used to dress the rookies up, and put them in cheerleading outfits and stuff like that, and make them get off the team bus and walk into the bar and do a shot, you know, on Waveland Avenue. And then, you know, you do it 15 years later and you see 20 iPhones going up, everybody putting it on video. So we kind of had to be careful doing that. But, you know, the media's, you know, it is what it is. I think, you know, you didn't have to watch your back so much. I think when we played, you know, we weren't worried about being canceled back in the 80s and 90s, put it that way.
Sure. Did you have guys and gals that cover the team that you trusted, or did you kind of stay away from being a source and stuff like that?
You know, our media traveled with us when we first came up. So, yeah, I mean, you would have a beer with the guy in the hotel bar, and, you know, at 4 o'clock after the game in the clubhouse, he was a member of the media, but at, you know, 10 o'clock at night in the hotel bar, he was kind of your buddy.
Sure.
You know, and you sat there, and there was kind of an unwritten rule where what the media saw outside the clubhouse, they didn't write about or report about. So it was kind of nice to get to know the guys and, you know, things like that.
Greg Maddux with us here in the G-Bag Nation. Of course, he'll be part of the Invited Celebrity Classic. You can get tickets at invitedcelebrityclassic.com/tickets. Also free for all 3 days of competition for grounds tickets. But, Greg, I wonder your opinion on guys like Jordan Montgomery, who we'd love to get back here in Texas, and Cy Young winner Blake Snell. It's March 7th. These are two outstanding pitchers that still haven't signed. They're still not on a roster at spring training. How challenging is that? And does Major League Baseball maybe need to figure something out to correct this?
Well, that's a good question. You know, it is getting pretty late. I don't think if something happens in the next 10 days, they're in any danger of starting the season late. You know what I mean? Hopefully they're taking care of themselves and, you know, they'll be ready to throw, you know, 80 or 90 pitches come the first week of April. But, you know, it's just kind of the nature of the game. You know, you kind of want to, when you're a free agent, you know, you have two options. You can play where you want to play, or you can go where you can make the most money, you know? And I think every player's case is a little different. And I don't know what these guys are looking for, whether they want a chance to win a World Series ring, or they want to play in a town that they're comfortable playing in, or they want the big contract. You know, it'd be nice to have all three, but you usually have to pick what's most important to you. And I think, I think it'll all play itself out here pretty soon.
Greg, we know your brother very, very well, and he's an outstanding teacher. Would you rate yourself as a teacher? Or were you willing to talk to a young guy and sit down with him and talk about, you know, grip and finger strength or whatever that you needed to do to kind of maybe help them along?
I mean, I've done it in the past. You know, this year, you know, I was invited to go down back with Texas again in spring training, but we're having our first grandson here in the next, you know, week or two. So I'm kind of hanging around home for that. And, you know, I've done that in the past. I've always worked a little part-time here and there. And this is the first year I haven't in about the last 10 or 12 years. So we'll see what happens, you know, in the future. And, you know, I love baseball. I love being around the game. I love being around the guys. And I also still like trying to learn about the game as well. So I'm sure I'll dip in somewhere down the road.
Is it when you talk to young pitchers and stuff or young players, you ever have anybody that doesn't know who you are?
Yeah, it's happened.
Is it strange?
It's happened.
I mean, you're like a legendary player.
Yeah, but I've been out for, you know, 15 years now. So,
sure.
You know, it's been a while since I've pitched, and, but you know, it's all good. You know, it's all good. You're just there to try to make the player better, try to help him the best you can. And, you know, hope he gets a little bit better because of it.
Well, it's certainly, we would love to have you out there at Surprise, get that World Series magic back, but congratulations on the grandson.
Yeah.
How was it for you watching, you know, Mike and the Rangers go on that World Series championship run last October?
Oh, it was great. I mean, I loved it. I mean, couldn't wait for the games to start. I actually felt like I was kind of a part of the team, you know, because I had been there in spring training, even though I wasn't actually there. But I did go to games 1 and 2 in Texas last year. And Yeah, I'm rooting for him hard. You know, he's been in the game forever, and you know, to finally get that ring is pretty special. Now we got two in the family.
There you go. There you go. Craig, what is your thoughts about, you know, the analytics, and has it helped baseball, hurt baseball, especially when it comes to what we're dealing with pitching nowadays?
Yeah, I think we had analytics when we played. We just called them scouting reports.
Sure.
I mean, you know, they're obviously a lot more detailed now with all the spin rates and all that. You know, I think if you use the analytics correctly, I think it could do nothing but help you. You know, I think you have to be able to accomplish what the analytics are asking you to do. And, you know, that's where the pitcher has to realize his strength and weaknesses as a pitcher, what pitches he can and can't make, and kind of pitch off that. You know, you always want to pitch off your strengths. But if the analytics and your strengths match up, then, you know, a lot more power to you.
Wait, Greg, here I'm prepping for my interview with you here. I saw a video of you, and I can't remember the game, though. You threw a pitch with a scuffed ball broke inside. It's an unbelievable video how you started it way outside left side of the plate and brought it all the way back in on the hitter. And I was thinking, I'm watching these pitchers, and it seems like a new ball every pitch. Did you guys kind of live for the scuff ball, right? I mean, you did some damage with that thing.
100%. I mean, you know, if you got a four hopper to short, you know, they threw it around the horn and threw it right back to you.
Right.
You know, they did not throw that ball out.
Right.
So it was important to always check for scuffs, and it was important also to know how to use a scuff. You know, I think we spent plenty of bullpens down there trying to work on how is this scuff going to work, you know, the best for me. And, you know, I even asked my catchers to try to short hop the ball to second base when they threw it down, you know, to start the inning. So, I mean, you know, you always, you know, you would never intentionally put a scuff on the ball, but if you got a ball with a scuff on it, you sure wanted to use it.
Yeah, we were at spring training the other day, and again, in a spring training game, it seemed like every second pitch, a new ball was
changing
in the game.
Out.
There was a new ball in the game, and I was like thinking, nah, Greg Maddux would be going nuts right now. He give him these scuff balls, man. He'd up and down the side here.
Yeah, I mean, definitely helps, that's for sure.
Greg, of course, you won a World Series in 95. What are some of the challenges to repeating? We haven't had a repeat World Series champ since the Yankees did it from 99 to 2000, and that's obviously what we're hopeful and our Texas Rangers want to do this year.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you just got to do what you did last year. You know, you got to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
And then you got to get hot and you got to play good. I mean, obviously we all know it's hard to repeat, but it's not impossible. And, you know, if they pitch next October the way they pitched last October, I mean, there's no reason why it couldn't happen again. They're going to score enough runs.
Greg, it's, as we watch these pitchers, you know, throughout the Major League Baseball season, it seems like they go 5-6 innings. You would go out there and throw the whole day. Does that bother you that pitchers don't finish these things? And is there anybody currently pitching that could have pitched with you guys? Maybe a one guy that you're like, listen, this guy would have eaten up innings. He would have been great for us. Is there somebody like that in the league? But does it bother you that these guys don't go the full distance like you used to?
Well, I mean, it's just a whole different mindset now. I mean, you got to remember, we were throwing 230 to 250 innings back in our day. But,
sure,
you know, if you look before us, they were throwing 300 innings.
Right.
You know, Nolan Ryan was throwing 300 innings. You know, when he left, the top guy was throwing 240 innings. You know, so I think, you know, it's just kind of the way the game's gone for the last 50 years. And you know, there's something to be said for, you know, it's hard to get a guy out the third and fourth time through.
Sure.
It really is, you know, and unless you pitch him accordingly and have him set up for that third or fourth at bat, you know, it's going to be a huge advantage for the hitter. So, you know, I understand why they're doing it. You know, personally, you know, I always thought it was pretty cool to go 9 innings.
Yeah.
You know, it was kind of cool. It's kind of cool to get your own save sometimes. You know,
yeah.
Go ahead and get the last 3 outs in the ninth and get your own save. You know, don't put it on somebody else. And, you know, that was kind of the different mindset back then. But, you know, now, you know, guys are freaking blowing cheese and hard as you can for as long as you can. They only want to, You know, they want to keep them under 100 pitches, it seems like, and keep them healthy. And you know, there's plenty of good pitchers out there today. You know, Verlander, you know, Kershaw.
Sure.
You know, the Blake Snell, obviously.
Mm-hmm, right.
I mean, I love DeGrom when he's healthy. Ivaldi, you know, the guys in Texas are pretty good. They got Scherzer. There's tons of good pitchers out there. And, you know, I enjoy watching them pitch.
Yeah, you forgot to add that you would add two hits to the lineup and also get a couple of putouts
bit
as
of a
well.
Difference there,
you know,
yeah.
So yeah, that's what you would do. Well, you just go ahead and throw. Yeah, you get a couple of hits, two for three for the day, kind of a thing.
Well, yeah, it's always nice to get a hit and run the bases. You know,
yeah,
it's fun to score a run.
Yeah,
you know, the
help
pitchers
yourself.
Kind of
help
miss
yourself.
Out on
that
there
now. You go. Yeah.
All right, Greg.
Kind of miss out on that these days.
We really appreciate the time, man. Last thing, Ranger fans are just curious if you can confirm or deny that John Smoltzy there, does he hate the Rangers?
He does not hate the Rangers. Smoltzy, it seems like whatever city he's in, that city doesn't like him, even in Atlanta. You know, I mean, yeah, it's tough. It's tough being an announcer. He doesn't hate the Rangers. He, you know, if you got to sit up there and talk for 4 hours every day, eventually you're going to say something stupid.
We appreciate you, man. And thank you so much. Enjoy, of course, the tournament next month. It's going to be awesome. The Invited Celebrity Classic. Hopefully we catch up with you down the road. And congratulations on the grandson.
Awesome. Appreciate it. Looking forward to it.
There he
goes.
All
right. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
All right.
The great Greg Maddux, Major League Baseball Hall of Famer. Again, if you want to go get tickets to check out Greg, Tony Romo, several amazing celebrities. Pudge is going to be out there. DeMarcus Ware, Albert Pujols, Roger Clemens, John Smoltz.
Yeah.
If you want to give Smoltzy some boo birds, go to www.invitedcelebrityclassic.com/tickets. Ground tickets are free for all 3 days of the competition. It'll be April 15th to the 21st at Las Colinas.
It's quite. We were out there last year. Quite a group of celebrities.
So they got a who's who, man.
This is cool.
They really, really do.
Yeah.
All right, let's go ahead and go around the rim. Do you have serious doubts about the Mavs as they get to try and get off the schneid against the Heat? And this dude is out for the season again. Tell you about that next on The Fan. Thank you, L.A. Thanks again to Greg Maddux for joining us here. We are going to do a quickie around the rim, and then we'll get into the C-Note Cowboys news of the evening. Even though it's the afternoon, it's more of a coda, I should say. Let's go ahead and cut the lights out, put the kids to bed, and go all the way around the rim.
I don't even know what that means.
I don't either.
It's that kind of show today.
Rain dance. But it's provocative. It gets the people going. Oh, so man. Mavs in action tonight. Let's see if
Mavs
they can get
need oxygen. Is that what you're about
to
say?
They need a lot of life. They need something, dude. This has been absolutely pathetic.
It's tough.
Every single outlet is writing about the Mavs in a negative way.
Yeah.
And it's all about effort. Lack of effort, easy to see with this team, not just against the Pacers, but really in each of the Mavs' most recent losses, is one article that I read today. It's gotten so bad that since the All-Star break, Mavs have ranked dead last in defense. They allow 126 points a night, and it's something that's frustrating because the perimeter defense allows the fourth most wide open three since the All-Star break. That's 22.3 a game. So you look at teams like Cleveland, who had so much success, Indiana the other night, and Miami's a team that'll beat up on you tonight if they don't find a way to clean that up. The thing that's annoying, though, and we mentioned this in the open, is a couple weeks ago, Mavs on that seven-game winning streak, they had the number one defense in the league.
Hmm?
So they've, and Jason Kidd's even said it, we've got the personnel now to do this. Teams are working right at Luka. We know Kyrie's a little bit undersized, but as soon as you start to maybe get Luka a little bit fatigued, maybe he's starting to complain about the refs. You've got, as Tim Cato wrote, your worst offensive players are lining up in the corner for corner threes where Luka will kick out to them. Now they've got to run and get back defensively, and they've got further to travel than anybody else. So now you've got matchups where your lesser defenders are having to go up against some of the better offensive players. These are issues that Jason Kidd needs to figure out and how to correct. Maybe it is playing less minutes for certain guys. You go ahead and just shorten the bench a little bit. Is Gafford going to get a start over Derek Lively? These are all things we'll have to see tonight. But goodness gracious, you're in big-time danger of having a similar scenario happen this time a year ago. They're in the postseason. They fade down the stretch. They fall completely out of the play-in with 20 games left. It's put up or shut up time. And we got guys like Tim Legler today saying he thinks Jason Kidd's in trouble.
Well, I think if you talk to people in the Mavs, they would tell you that they understand they're not very good defensively. They have to do things They think about maybe playing too many guys, as you mentioned. The rotations probably haven't been right. I can't say they've had the Cleveland game. I felt like was bad luck. A guy sinks a 59-foot shot to win the game. That game right there had playoff intensity. It was going back and forth. Both teams were trying to find a way to win. I kind of felt like, and then the next night, the Mavs gave a really good effort to get a victory. So it kind of felt like, well, maybe they put it behind them.
Oh, against Toronto?
Against Toronto. Yeah. But that might have taken something out of them. But they just haven't been the same team. They haven't been the same team. And they haven't, when they don't shoot well, it's a problem. When they don't give defensive effort. And I'll say this. I think there are times where they play with good effort. I don't think they do it enough.
No, it's not consistent.
It's not. They need a stop. They get a stop. They're going to need another stop. They can't get the stop. They need another stop. They can't get the stop. Teams are going to hit shots on you. And they've had some teams hit some pretty spectacular shots on them. Cleveland, Pacers, those guys, they get deep into a shot clock and they hit a shot.
Mm-hmm.
But, you can't get frustrated. And I think what happens to this team, it's not a very, and I'm probably going to get in trouble for saying this, it's not a very mentally tough team. They just don't have those glass eaters. And I mean, glass eaters is a football term of those guys that it just, or basketball, they talk about slap the floor, play defense kind of guy.
Yeah, they're easily distracted. They're easily taken off of their game.
When things go a little sideways for them, they don't handle that very well. And you can see the frustration, the body language, all those things come into play. And so this team, and I don't know how you get around that. I don't know how you get around not being frustrated. But, they've got to learn to play through adversity.
Yes.
And they don't do that very well right now.
No, and Jason Kidd talks about, this is a great challenge. We've got the personnel. We'll see how we fight through this stuff. Well, yeah, you got it. You got a good team at home tonight on national TV in the Miami Heat.
Yeah.
How do they come out and respond? And they need a good – they need to get a win. I mean, they are desperate for a victory.
Yeah.
And we'll see how they do it tonight. Karl Anthony Towns being evaluated for a meniscus injury. So that definitely could be a difference maker in the West when you look at the Wolves right now at the top spot. And the Nets have ruled out Ben Simmons for the season with an ongoing back issue. Another season lost for Ben Simmons. Now you've got his agent who is taking responsibility for this, saying, yeah, it's my fault, basically, that he's got a bad back. He hasn't allowed him to see the right specialists. He worked so hard. Maybe he's working too much. This is just a reoccurring theme. I don't think maybe the agent's just trying to save his job by saying
this. I think the agent was trying to, he understands that everybody's going to sling the arrows at the player, and he's trying to deflect that.
Mm.
And so I would venture to say that's kind of where we're at right now with that.
LeBron said he's going to be all right after he left yesterday with an ankle injury in a Lakers loss as well to the Kings, 130-120. So all things to monitor as we move forward, and hopefully the Mavericks can get themselves a victory tonight at the AAC. If you're heading out there, make sure you go see my friends at the Operators Club. Just a shout out to them. Okay, coming up next, we've got the C-Note or the C-Nota, Cowboys News of the Afternoon. Got Cowboys Mock Draft Roundup. Which draft targets saw their stock rise after the combine? And maybe don't get overly excited about these free agents.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.